That was good. Went right in. You were talking about more hungry for God than you are food. Reminded me of Dr. Bailey last week. Did a wonderful job. All right. Anybody had any issues or anything this week? Just me? I'm the only one?
No.
You mean you have issues? Yeah. Sometimes I am the issue. Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Sorry. I've had the Lord tell me that. The problem's you. So I was trying to debate on what to talk about with you today and mulling it over last night, and I've changed it today. And I said, we gotta hit this first to handle this. You got to get this settled. Even if you've been a mature believer for a long time, you've got to have this forever settled in you. You've heard me talk about trains before, right? And I've been doing really good with trains. I've been blessing trains. Somebody blessed me with a BNSF hat to remind me, put me in remembrance. And today I was driving and a really long train went by. I said, well, he's moving fast. And he started slowing down. And I'm on this one road and they're doing construction on the road as well. So once you're locked in, you're not going anywhere, right? And then we had a massive rainstorm last night, so it's not like you can cut over the median thing anyway. And he stopped. Okay. Then another train goes by on the other track. And I went, okay. And I did what I've been promising I would do. I blessed the train, blessed the train, blessed the conductors, blessed the engineers, all the people that are working on the little train. Little train guys, whatever they do, we bless them. That's what I was doing. I was being good. I really was. An hour later, the train is still blocking the track. And people are out of their cars. I mean, they were like having a block party on a street here called Bailey Boswell. They're having a block party in all four directions. Nobody can go anywhere. And the police showed up to try to help cars turn around and try to get out of there and stuff. And so finally, the train, oh, hey, he's moving, we're moving. And everybody starts running to their cars, right? And so he's gone and the little things go up like this and everybody's like, yeah. And so I was about the fifth car back and two cars went through and the lights came on again and went down. Now, I was good through the hour, but two cars went. Two cars went, and another one comes. And I watched people get back out of their car, and they were waving at the guy. Some people were, you're number one, and all kinds of stuff. It was fun. So I've had opportunities today to practice my new confession that I've had concerning the trains and the train guys. Have you ever prayed for patience? Let me warn you about it. No, what I'm trying to tell you is the enemy is going to give you opportunity. He's going to test you in the things that you've confessed. You hear what I said to you? The things that you preach. He's going to test you in that to see if you're going to flesh out or what you're going to do. What is your confession going to change when reality hits you in the face? I got to be preaching to somebody in here. You ready? Let's start. Father, we bless you. We thank you. I ask you tonight to wash us in your word that we'll never be the same. Reveal yourself to us in ways that we haven't seen before, that you'll transform us from glory to glory because we are word people and the word changes us. We give you praise and honor for it in Jesus' name. And everybody that's in agreement with me will say, amen. So be it. Okay, let me give you God's goal for us as individual believers. I have studied Jesus and I still study him and I want to be known as a disciple. You've heard me say that. And I study him. And he used to say some radical things to people. And one of the most radical things that I ever heard him say, you say, well, did you heard him? Yeah, I read the word and I heard him. When I started studying Jesus, I went and I just did the red letters of the Bible. You know the red letters? I heard a preacher all the time when I was a kid. All he would say is red writing. And I'm thinking, what's he talking about? Red writing? It's red writing. And I thought he was talking about Red Riding Hood or something. What's red writing? Hey, red writing. He'd do that to you, red writing. Like that made it more the Bible than the Bible, red writing. I still remember that guy. It stuck with me. Sorry. I get distracted by stuff like that. But that's a good thing, right? You ever guys ever sing that song, Bringing in the Sheaves or something? I used to think they were singing Bringing in the Cheese. Like, where's this cheese they keep talking about? They used to sing out of a hymnal, right? Turn to page whatever. We sing off the wall now. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah, we don't turn to any pages. They put it up there and we sing off the wall. Jesus said to the woman several times, but the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and he set the conditions about what was going to happen. The one without sin among you cast the first stone. And they all dropped the rocks and ran. Meaning the first person with no sin was going to throw the first rock. Everybody else will throw the rocks and they'll be justified in killing this lady. And he says to her, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, I have none. And he said, neither do I. In other words, I'm the one without sin. I could have thrown the first rock and we would have been legal under the law. And my father would have blessed it. Come on now.
That's right.
Come on now. But I chose not to. And then he said, crazy statement to her. Does anybody know what he says next to her? What'd he go? What'd he say? Go and sin no more. How many of you think she did that? No, come on, seriously. How many of you think she did that? Nobody wants to raise their hand. What if we said it to you today? What if he said that to you? Well, let me just tell you, he does. The goal for every believer is to never sin again. I realize that sounds impossible, but God doesn't seem to think so. He sees us like he sees Jesus because you're in Christ. Right? And if Jesus, now listen to me, if Jesus never sinned and we have the same Holy Spirit that was in him living in us, and even more, we have the word, the entirety of the word available to us, why shouldn't we live a life like that? What is sin? Anybody, throw one at me. There it is. Somebody called out what? We're not looking at you. Missing the mark. Just missing the mark. Did I do that with the train? Maybe. Don't know. Was working hard not to, but I was working a lot in my flesh not to, instead of working in the spirit not to. Different animal. So none of us have reached that goal, but it's still not too much to ask to keep shooting for it. Now let me show you, Pastor Terry's been going through this and I don't want to steal her thunder. The book of Jude, verse 24. Book of Jude, verse 24. Not chapter 24, verse 24. Now to him, first chapter, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. What if I told you you would never stumble again? Is that possible? Apparently it is. We either believe this or we don't. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jesus' entire thing is to present you to the Father faultless. And the only way that's done is in him. You have to keep your eyes and your focus of your faith and your confession in him. I'm going to tell you something. That's the way salvation works. That's the way prosperity works. That's the way healing works. And the enemy would love to do nothing more than to get your focus by something happening to get your focus off of, and you come against prosperity with your mouth and miss the mark. Let's go on. Let me go on. Pastor's talking about sin. Yes, I am. You say I never do, but look at here. God would rather us to shoot for the moon and miss it than shoot for this ceiling and hit it. Since God's plans are to present us faultless to himself in heaven, he simply asks us this: why wait till then? Because as he is, so are we. That's the way the Father sees me when I'm in Christ Jesus. So your witness before the world is not only your testimony and a witness to the word, it's the change of your lifestyle. Your witness before the world is not only your testimony and a witness by the word, it's a change of lifestyle. What good is it if you're born again if your life doesn't change much on the outside as it did on the inside? The moment you were born again, everything changed. Amen. Your address changed, everything changed spiritually. Okay? The real issue is not that we have reached a point of not sinning anymore, but the real issue is the progress you're making. Brother Copeland told different people, Pastor George has told this story. Brother Copeland told him, look how far you've come. Look at the progress you've made. Instead of comparing to someone else. Right? Is it your goal each day to walk closer to God than yesterday? Well, then you will begin to get to a place where you will walk that way and sin not. It's possible you'll get there. You have to be able to look at your life and realize you don't sin as much as you did 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago. Is that correct? Yes. Is that true? Yes. Then you're making progress. Amen. How many of you, I controlled myself better today with the train than I have in times past. Yeah. Now listen to this. I'm sitting there, can't go anywhere, right? Can't turn around, can't do anything. And as I'm sitting there, I look down at the little needle in the car. First of all, I wanted to see how much gas I had left, because another person was scared they were about to run out of gas. They were on their way across the tracks to go to that gas station, put gas in their car. And she was having a tough time. And I looked, and at one point, the temperature gauge on my car started doing this. I looked at it and went, I looked back up, I looked back down, and finally it goes all the way up. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you either straighten up or train move. That's exactly what I did. Now let's get this going. It went. And I didn't turn the car off. I've never had that happen before. It's overheated, and it came back down. Is that possible? It did. I'm telling you what happened. Your salvation on the inside is making a difference on the outside. You're walking down a path that's growing brighter every day. You've got to start seeing yourself this way. The life that I'm speaking of before the world has nothing to do with your own salvation. It has everything to do with leading others to the Lord. That's what it's all about. Listen, you're still saved brace yourself. I didn't warn you that this was coming. The next sound you hear could be a sacred cow hitting the carpet. You're still saved even when you sin. Or even leave the church you're attending because you're mad. Or give somebody a piece of your mind. Or you need to quit that. There's a limited supply. Listen, stupid Christians are still Christians. You ever met any? I met them, man. I was one. You have simply put your lamp under a basket, the scripture says. You're not to live your life for yourself. You're supposed to live your life for others. This is why we have 1 John and Peter and all these different scriptures for us. God left you here after your salvation. If the goal of being saved is to just get to heaven, altar calls would be much different. You come forward, you get saved, see ya. We're having a memorial service for all these people here. No, seriously. If that's the goal, he'd just take you. But he didn't take us. He left us. Matter of fact, Jesus prays this. He says, I'm not taking them out. I'm leaving them here. I'm paraphrasing that. It's over in John. So that's what's happened. The part of the Great Commission is winning the world to Jesus by word and by deed. So what if we do sin? There's not one of us who's reached the place of total holiness in our daily life, in our physical life. Okay? Yet that should be your goal. God instructs us not to sin, and he also tells us what to do. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Tells us what to do. 1 John chapter 2, look at that. My little children. So who's he writing to? Believers. Would you agree with that? Yes. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation. Boy, there's a big word. Google that one sometime, see what that is. For our sins. Now listen, it means the appeasing sacrifice of our sins. But also for those of the whole world. Not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. So he's not becoming that, he is that. He's not becoming the appeasement for judgment, he is that. And he himself is. Isn't that beautiful? That's why you got to keep your eyes on him. Oh my, it's quiet, really quiet in here. John, through the Holy Spirit, tells us one reason God gave us his word is so that we can walk free from this. All right, David said in Psalm 119, he said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I'm seeing a theme here, a pattern here, right? Notice, though, that John says the ones who are not supposed to sin, and if any man does, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the first righteous man now in the Godhead. Amen. And when you were born again, you were placed in him. You have to begin to see yourself in him. When I see myself in him, it becomes, because of love, it becomes a motivating factor for me to not flip out on the train, to not do this, to not say that. Not because the law is compelling me or forcing me. It's not an outward pressure thing. It's an inward thing. You guys you're quiet. Okay, so we have an advocate with Father. This verse reflects back to the verse 9 of chapter 1. And 1 John 1, 9 was not given to us as a license. You hear people preaching about that all the time. No, it's not a license. It's a license to serve God. That when I mess up, I can wash up.
Yes.
Without confession and forgiveness of sins as a believer, we would never be able to make spiritual progress. I have stumbling blocks in my way that I've placed. Have you ever done that? In the night, last night when the storm went, I had one dog barking at the storm and one whining. I'm like, can you guys get together? Work this out. And then they wanted to go out right then. I'm like, no, you don't want it. Okay, I'll let you out. Missed the mark, didn't I? But the whole thing is when these things happen, what happened? I got up, forgot that I'm moving stuff around, and stepped on something. You ever done that? I tell you, the thing that dads love and hate at the same time is Lego blocks. I have one son that just loved Legos when he was little. And if you can, you'll find that Lego when you're barefooted in the night. Like, how did that get in here? Okay, you guys, I guess you don't believe me on that, right? Or you cut the corner early to get around the bed because you know where everything is and you hit your little baby toe. And you do that dance. It's kind of like a Holy Ghost dance. Not really, but it kind of is. This is how we make spiritual progress. You're putting out things in your way to make you stumble. So the sin is not removed to allow you to sin again, but to get rid of the obstacles so that you can move on. That's why 1 John 1:9 is there. You're saved. It's there to get rid of the obstacles that you've placed. That's all it is. You're saved. I don't need to get saved again. Listen, when I was a kid, I padded the stats of more evangelists. Every evangelist that came in, I went every night and got saved. Listen to 1 John 2:2. It goes on to say that Jesus is the one who forgives the sins of the sinner and the righteous. His blood cleanses us at the point of salvation. And then, listen to this now, the blood still works, right? The blood still speaks. The blood's still doing what it does. The blood is still washing me. This is why I pray every time that I speak, wash me in the word. Do you remember the boys up with the boys, the disciples with Jesus? And he bends down. This is the night before his crucifixion. And he wraps himself with a towel. This is what they should have done as the disciples of the rabbi. He wraps himself with a towel and he bends down and he begins to wash their feet. Remember this? And he gets to Peter. And Pete, you're not washing my feet. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. If I don't wash you, he said, I'm paraphrasing this, you have no part of me. And then he said, then wash all of me. Remember that? Yeah. That's Peter, man. It was like either here or here. Now he stables that out. I'm going to show you that in a minute. He stables that out in his life, but he's either here or here. He says, well, then wash all of me. And he says, I don't need to wash you. You've already been cleansed. I just need to wash your feet. You've carried stuff in with you. You're washed. You've carried the world in on your feet. That's what we do. You came in here. Some of you came in here carrying stuff. Some of you came home tonight before you turned this on and you're carrying things that you carried around with you all day. Maybe you've carried it with you all week. Maybe you should let that go. Because I'm going to tell you something, it's affecting everybody in the house. Yes. Oh my. So his blood cleanses us at the point of salvation and after. Jesus also told us to walk free from this thing. After Jesus healed a sick man, he told him, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. He told the woman caught in adultery, I said it a while ago, go and sin no more. Did the man and the woman probably sin again? Yes. Of course they did. What about you? Oh, don't raise your hand. Because I don't want to. How many of you have never missed it since you got saved? Don't raise your hand because then you just missed it. You just missed it. Woo, he's a tricksy guy. That guy's a tricky guy. But what do you think? You didn't see it coming. A blindside. I set him up, didn't I? What do you think the Lord would say to them after he forgave them? What do you think he would say to you after he prospered you? What would he say to you after he healed you? Because if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's the Lord that changes not, after he blesses you, gets you out of a hole. Oh, Lord Jesus. Anybody over here getting out of a hole? Because that side apparently doesn't get into holes. Anybody over here, you ever get yourself into something and the Lord got you out?
Yes.
Now, what have I got to do? Because I'm going to tell you what I heard him say to me. Oh, hey, go and sin no more.
Yes.
He hadn't changed his verbiage. See, we're not supposed to be living for miracles. Preaching to you what I got in the garage. Get ready. He's going to say the same thing. This is what he says to each time that he forgives us. I didn't forgive you so that you go sin again. I forgave you so that you won't have anything stumbling over. You're not stumbling over anything, and you can walk free from this. Our goal each day to be should be sin no more. The way to stop sinning is not to make a vow that I'm never going to sin again. Never going to do it. Stomp your feet. Stand on the word. I get it when they do that. I'm standing on your word, and if your word goes under, then I go under. Well, quit confessing you're going under. So you don't make a vow, you don't stomp your feet, you don't stand on the Bible, make a commitment that you're not going to do that, because the minute you do that, you're going to do that. Then what am I going to do? Let me help you. The reason you're doing all that stuff is that's flesh, and flesh can't clean up flesh. Oh, you can do it for a little while, but you're going to have to make a lot of law. You're going to have to do 12 steps. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to do this. You're going to put barriers. I get that. I'm not coming against that. I'm not coming against that. But really, it's one step. See, I stepped over here, and I just need to get back right there. With him, it's the one-step program. Peter took, I don't know how many steps he took out on the water, but I know that he was one step away from the Lord when he went over. He took his eyes off Jesus on the lake, but Jesus never took his eyes off Pete. And the moment he started going down, I got you. I got this. Get back in the boat. Actually, they were immediately to the other side, weren't they?
That's what's awesome.
Flesh can't clean up flesh. Let me tell you how you stop sinning. You ready for this? It's a very deep concept. The way to stop sinning is to grow up. That's it. Grow up. Just grow up. And that's what we're doing here tonight. That's why we're here. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the word was given to us that we might not sin against God. Right? Satan is not bigger than the Holy Spirit. Did you hear what I just said to you? He's not bigger than the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. He's not bigger than a renewed mind that is filled with God's word. When you get your mind renewed to his word, you're bigger than the enemy right now. Matter of fact, I'll go so far as to say this. You are bigger than Lucifer himself and all the one third of heaven that came with him. You're bigger than all of them. Yes, you're bigger. Your driver's license gives you more authority on this planet. He has no authority on this planet. And any authority he had, the Lord Jesus took it from him and made a show of him openly in front of everybody, in front of all the spiritual world, made a show of him. Now, he's still around, but he's defeated. Flip Wilson, I'm dating myself right there. Flip Wilson just talked about the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't. Go to 2 Peter, please. Satan, Lucifer, is the original one and only illegal thing on this planet. Uh-oh. I can feel it coming. Okay, in 2 Peter, that book is really good because it's his final words before he dies. He's crucified upside down. Now, Pete has come a long way from the disciple who rebuked Jesus for listening to the voice of Satan and for foolish statements, and come a long way from the guy who denied him. He has now become a strong and mature believer, able to instruct other ministers and believers himself. Chapter 1 of 2 Peter is a monument to the importance of the Word of God, and Peter leaves his growth and understanding in the Word as a testimony. He's come to the place, if people don't remember Peter, that's not important. Peter only wants them to remember this phrase, exceedingly great and precious promises. Let me show you verse 8 and 10 of chapter 1. For these things, what things? Exceedingly great and precious promises are yours and abound. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten he was cleansed from his old sins. Hear that? I want you to let that thing sink in. Let me come over here. See, I'm reading it right there, but it's right here. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So many times we forget what we've been cleansed of. I haven't been made righteous. I mean, I've not been accounted righteous. I've been made righteous. It's a whole different thing than Abraham. I've been made righteous. And it's not my righteousness. It's his righteousness. Floaty pump up time. You're as righteous as Jesus. Oh, you shouldn't say stuff like that. He says stuff like that. Where'd I stop? Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Isn't that beautiful? He makes some amazingly powerful statements in those three verses. He first of all says, if the promises of God are in us, they make us not be barren or unfruitful. What makes you to be not unbarren and unfruitful is the word that's in you. That's why I said a while ago, if you want to stop sinning, grow up. Amen. It's not a hard thing. Jesus said, my burden what is it? Wait a minute. My yoke is easy and yoke and lightened and something. Burden is light, yoke is easy. Right? Did I get it right? Invert them. Whatever it is, look it up. It's those two things some way. Stay to the notes, John. Right? Stay on my notes. But he said that. Religious people make it hard. And we can get religious real fast. I mean real fast. Let the Lutheran church get filled with the Holy Ghost and start growing and see what you think about that. Well, they don't do it the way we do it. Yeah, you're a Frankenstein. Listen to this. We are not self-made Christians. We're word-made. We got too many Christians trying to be self-made. Don't be self-made. Be word-made. I'm word-made. When the Word of God controls your thinking, you become fruitful and productive in the world that God has left you in. The world needs more disciples, not more Christians. We got too many Christians. We need more disciples. Part of the Great Commission was to go and make disciples, not Christians. The word was not to go make more Baptists. Think about that, the Great Commission. What did he say? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, right? And then what? Make disciples of all men, didn't he?
Yes.
Didn't say make Baptists, Assembly of God, Lutherans, Episcopals, Word of Faithers, Charismatics. I call them Cruismatics. Cruise from church to meeting. Never mind. I can't take that back. That got fleshy. That was flesh. See that? Did you see what just happened? That was flesh, what I just did. I went back to old pastor days of myself right there when I used to say that kind of stuff, and that was flesh then, and it's flesh now, so I repent of it, of all unrighteousness, and I cancel those words. See how easy that was? You'll get to a place where your spirit will do that to you if you listen. I just got dirt on my feet, that's all. Mom tell you to wipe your feet when you came in when you were a kid? All the time. Shut the door. We're not air conditioning the neighborhood. Well, they do that. Well, Never mind. Peter says he's forgotten he was cleansed from his old sins. He has no guidance, no spiritual sight in the world of darkness. He's considered carnal Christian. I say he's stupid. He's a stupid believer. He's asleep in the light, Paul called it. They're preaching the same thing. He's never sure from day to day if he's truly born again. You ever been there? From day to day, never sure if you're truly born again. So he runs from church service to church service, trying to recommit himself to the Lord. Listen, I've gotten to a place I never wonder if I'm born again. I don't need another dedication service. I don't mind them, but I don't need one because I know that I'm a child of God. I'm born again, and how do I know I'm born again? Because the Word says I'm born again. So if the Word says I'm born again, the Word can't lie, I'm born again. Regardless if I feel like it or not. I told you guys the testimony of when I walked away from God. Anybody not heard this in the Air Force? My Air Force? Okay, let me tell you real fast. I walked away. I went in. Chief, you'll like this. You go in at Lackland Air Force Base, and you still have your hair and your regular clothes, and they're getting you all this stuff. And it hadn't really hit what's about to hit in boot camp, right? And so they're getting my dog tags, and you have to say, you know, Protestant or Catholic. Back in my day, it was Protestant or Catholic, Protestant or Catholic. I said, neither one. Are you Jewish? No. Protestant or Catholic? Buddhist? No. None. You have to have one. The little airman sitting there, you have to have one. No, I don't want one. You have to have one. And so she put on my dog tags, no religion. And that's what I wore around my neck for a long time. And I was on you get one shot in the Air Force because one shot if in basic training to shoot expert marks because we only shoot one time. It's not like the rest of you guys. I mean, just saying. It only takes one time. Thank you, Chief. That's what I'm talking about, Air Force. It only takes one time. That's what I'm talking about. We send our officers to fight from 40,000 feet. No. But you get to shoot the M16 one time. And so I was sitting down there, and it was early in the morning, and I looked down the range, and I see this target. It looked like it was about that big down there, and I was on lane 25. I think it was on lane 25, 24, 25. And I looked down there, and I'm thinking, man, I can't even hardly see the thing. There's a 10 ring and a 9, and it goes out. They tell you how much you have to score. I'm like, I can't even see it. I'm laying on my stomach, because that's where we're going to shoot first, is laying on your belly. And I said, oh, God, help. Oops. That's all I said. The next thing that came out of my mouth, I'm a heathen. I'm a confessing heathen. I'm practicing it. I'm good at it. Called at age 13 in youth camp. But because of circumstances in life and the denomination we lived in and was raised in, I couldn't fulfill my calling because of choices that had been made for me and the choices that I made. So therefore, I couldn't be a preacher. So if I can't do this, I'm not gonna be a hypocrite. I hate them, right? If you don't like hypocrites, don't go to hell. There's a lot of them there. So I said, oh God, help. The next thing that came out of my mouth, I spoke in tongues. Freaked me out because I was afraid that the little guy with the red hat standing next to me heard me. I was like, oh my God, what just happened? Now I'm shaking. What happened? Because see, I've got no religion hanging around my neck. I am a devout, don't believe. Confessing, don't believe. And that happened. See, I left him, but he never left me. He said, lo, I'm with you always. I was pretty low right then. Even to the ends of the earth, right? Yeah. I shot expert. The drill sergeant was even making fun of me. He said, well, he goes, you're the luckiest guy I ever met. He goes, the other two lanes, these two idiots shot your target. Yeah. I don't know if they did or not, but the 10 circle was gone. So what they did is they picked out all the stuff that was around it, and I got the little ribbon, Expert Marksman. And you know what that was? It was a little love nudge from the Father. I'm still here, Greg. Still here. It didn't change for years to come, but he was there. So we're not self-made Christians, we're word-made. When the Word of God controls your thinking, you become fruitful and productive in the world that God has left you in. The world needs more disciples, not more Christians, right? A disciple is someone that continues in the Word after salvation. You can find that in John chapter 8. Peter goes on to say that what happens to a believer who does not continue in the Word, but follows after his own thinking and his own reasoning, when he's confronted with the world's point of view, that's when Satan has an inroad. He who lacks these things, or the promises of the Word, is short-sighted, even to blindness. Not only is a sinner considered to be blind, he's also a believer who's ignorant of the Word. Did you hear that? He looks a lot like a sinner, but he's not. He's spiritual, but he's spiritually born again, but he's carnal, but he looks like and acts like, talks like the Word. Have you ever noticed that in church? Have you ever met a Christian like that? Not here, I get that. And certainly not on Wednesday night. But they're out there. Not with you either, I get that. You're watching here. You're on the Believer's Voice of Victory Network. I get that. He has no guidance or spiritual sight. In the world of darkness, he's considered a carnal Christian. All right? He's forgotten that he's cleansed. A spiritually immature believer thinks he's lost his salvation. Or perhaps you've heard this one. He was never saved at all. Maybe I wasn't ever saved at all. Anybody ever dealt with that one? Okay, just me. He's never sure from day to day. And I never wonder, guys, if I'm born again because I've gotten past that. If you doubt my salvation, I go to the Word. The minute I start to do that, 1 John 5:13 says these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. In the face of doubt, here's what I've learned to do. I do to Satan what Jesus did to Satan.
Amen. Right.
It is written. Amen. And there's where it's written. These things I write to you, written. See it? That you may know that you have eternal life. Lucifer, listen to me. Don't run off. I need to tell you something. Listen to this. It is written that I may know that I have eternal life. Guess what? I know that. Oh, I know how you end up too. So sad. So sad. I know what my Lord and Savior did to you too. Oh, that's too bad. So I say to him, I've learned to say it is written. There's been times, have you ever had a thought creep up in your mind about something that you hadn't even thought about? Somebody you hadn't thought about for 40 years. It's happening a lot right now because we're getting ready to have a class reunion. And so everybody's sending messages to everybody. Are you going? Are you going? Are you going? And I'll remember that. And I went, oh, I remember that. It is written. That's what I keep doing. Here's what you want you to learn to do. You ready? It's a real simple thing, but I want you to learn this. Learn to doubt your doubts. He comes to you with something, just say, I doubt that. Satan hates to be doubted. Oh, he absolutely can't stand that. Well, listen, here's what I'm going to do to your car. I doubt that. Here's what I'm going to do. Guess what I'm going to do with your daughter? I doubt that. Matter of fact, I doubt you. Because here's what I know. It is written. No, listen, don't leave yet. I got to tell you something. He'll run. He flees from you. When you resist, what's that, resisting? Resisting is not, now there's times you got to do that, right? But resisting is just is doing the Word. Jesus was resisting him in the temptations. He's trying to get you to agree with something and say something. So I doubt my doubts, I doubt you, I don't doubt the Word. So he tells me something contrary to the Word, oh, I see, I doubt that. Because the Word says this, I don't doubt that. The Word says this about me, I don't doubt that. And the word says this about my family. Oh, would you remember the time that he said this guy and his entire house were saved? I don't doubt that. That's the word. So therefore, my whole house, I doubt you can do anything to them. Come on now, right? You start doing that, you're resisting. And all of a sudden, faith will start springing up in you. Is this helping anybody?
Yes.
Finally, Peter says this. Therefore, brethren, give more diligent to make your call and your election sure, meaning daily growth. For if you do these things, what's that? Follow the promises. You'll never stumble, or we could say sin. How would you like to live a life where you would never fall? Let me help you with something. It is possible. Matter of fact, it's expected.
Yes.
Matter of fact, that's your calling. Matter of fact, that's the place he's calling you from. Pastor Greg, you just don't have any idea. It's just bad. It's worse than hee-haw, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Nobody likes it. I ain't got nobody. Nobody cares for me. Sorry, I'm just going. I went back to old songs.
Yeah, you are.
Ain't got nobody. Come on, he's wanting you to do that. Pity parties feel good. Because they're flesh. And religious stuff feels good because it's flesh. But righteous stuff is different.
Yes.
Righteous stuff, oh my God, that just came up out of my, that came up out of my spirit. That's not in the notes. Righteous stuff isn't controlled by emotion. Or my head, it's out of position. It's coming from my position and I'm seated with him. So therefore, when righteousness speaks, my God. Did you get that? Something just hit me when I said that right there. Righteous, I need righteous to talk. Hallelujah. How can you like to set this as a daily goal and fulfill it by the end of each day? Well, you can. It's not a hard thing. It's not a hard thing at all. It's committing yourself to the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Is that true?
Yes.
So who are we talking about?
Jesus.
Okay, so I'm in Him.
Yeah.
And He's, what is He doing right now? Anybody know what He's doing? What's Jesus doing? He's what? Sitting down where?
Right hand
of the Father. So He's in a position of authority. Yes. And what is He doing? What's His job? He's what? He's making intercession for us. Now, if you study this thing out, it doesn't mean that God's looking around the earth looking for somebody to mess up so I can get them. I'm going to get them. I'm going to find me one today. Right? He's not doing that.
No.
Matter of fact, He's got somebody in His face all the time making intercession.
Yes.
So when you miss the mark and do a stupid, knowingly or unknowingly, I've already got an advocate with the Father.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I just need to get in line and agree with that. See, when you ask for forgiveness, what happens? Come on, class, help me out. I don't want to just dialogue. I want to dialogue. I don't want to just talk to you. He's faithful and justice. Adjust to forgive us,
and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
To cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
Now I'm righteous.
Yes.
But what I did was unrighteous. Yes? And so He's going to cleanse me of that.
Yeah.
He's going to wash me in the Word, isn't He?
Right.
What He told Peter that He was going to do. So if their sins and iniquities, I will what?
Remember
no more. Is that conditional? Because see, here it is. Under the law, and listen, I get it. The law, I get it. Law's fun because it's a measuring stick. But He doesn't grade on the curve with the law. If you miss it, you missed all of it. Even if you miss one little part, there's no rounding up. Here's the thing about legalist, and I know because, listen, we can become that way real quick. Guys, hello.
Yeah.
Well, we're not supposed to pray that way. We're supposed to pray this way. And if you don't pray this way, then you're not praying. You're praying amiss. And you're, really? I prayed a stupid prayer in Saudi Arabia and asked God to kill me. I dared him. At least I'll know you're real. He didn't answer that prayer. It was a stupid prayer. That's praying amiss. Right? Here's the thing with a legalist. When is it ever enough? Because here's what happens. You get on the hamster wheel. You know the hamster wheel? We had a hamster when I was a kid. We had one hamster in my entire family's life. It was my sister's hamster. And it got out one day. We never could find the hamster. And then one day we found it. It peeked out from behind the fridge. And then it peeked out from somewhere else. I'm like, we got a hamster living in the house. Don't know really what happened to the hamster. We didn't have a cat. We did have a mouse trap. I have a sneaking suspicion that the hamster went to heaven. I can't prove it, but I'm just saying. I think that's how we caught the hamster back. We go in peace. So we had this hamster. I thought the hamster was kind of cool, but her room was next to my room, and the hamster wheel squeaked. Why in the middle of the night does the hamster want to run the wheel? Have you noticed that? Anybody have hamsters? Do your hamsters do that, or was it just we had a neurotic hamster? Did your hamsters, do they do that? It's at nighttime. He's like, squeak, 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 squeak. I'm like, oh, make it stop. I don't know what it was about the decibel of the squeak of that thing. Sleep through a thunderstorm and hear the hamster. And then it's like scratching around. And then when it got out, you could hear it scratching around in the house. And could never find it. And so I had this thing about the hamster getting on me while I was asleep. I might have contributed to the demise of the hamster because I was vocal about that. Something about, even in survival school, that was a thing for me. I didn't want any mouse on me while I'm sleeping. Or a rat. I'm just saying. We lived in California and we had a couple of parrots. You ever had a parrot? I was trying to teach it the gospel. I was trying to teach it the word. And I was going to let it out and it could evangelize and teach all the other. No, I'm thinking, seriously, because in San Diego, we have wild parrots that live in San Diego. Yeah, they just live out in the park. They're wild. I thought if I could teach this one to get the other one saved and then they could teach. Just pray for me. Just pray for me. Pray for Michelle. And so one night, I'm sitting there on the deck, a beautiful Southern California evening, which they all are. And I hear this squawking and commotion from Angel. And Angel, she's the vocal one. She's usually not squawky. Charlie was the squawky. Charlie was the one that would scream. My neighbors hated Charlie. Angel would whisper. You'd like get onto her for talking too much. And she'd go, hi. She'd whisper at you, hi. And she'd just follow you around. But Angel's freaking out. And I look out to see what's causing her to freak out. And I realize, oh my God, there's a rat reaching through the bars getting her seed. And I'm like, ah! Michelle's like, do something. I'm like, no! No, I had a hamster moment. No, ah, that's a hamster on steroids. Look at that thing. Look at the size of that thing. I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, just things that I dealt with, you know, and I still pray about those critters. If you go to a pet store, you'll see me. I'll do this around those guys. Man. Nasty little things. They just kind of don't trust them. I don't know what it is. You never see that cage next to the snake cage. You ever notice that? I don't know why that is. Sorry. Back to the word.
So I'm figuring out, I got to get rid of this rat. How do I get rid of this rat? I don't know how to get rid of the rat. I got to get a rat trap. So what I decided to do was get, I got a pellet gun. I about shot Angel. I'm thinking, well, this isn't working out, but darling, I know what you're feeling. So I went to a Home Depot, I think it was, and they had rat glue traps.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
And well, I caught it. And it was like dragging itself. Now I got to figure out what to do with the thing. I called my neighbor. I said, listen, I'm a man, but not right now. I need some help. I need some help right now. You got to do something with that thing right there. My daughter wanted a guinea pig. I said, oh, uh-uh. No, that ain't happening. Rodents are right out. But the thing would run at night. And run and run and run. You wonder if I was ever going to go back, didn't you? And run and run and run. That's legalism. Here's the deal. You made a vow at the beginning of this year. I'm going to read the word. I'm going to read the word. I'm going to pray in tongues for an hour. And by week one, you went 57 minutes. Not an hour. You only went 22 minutes because you overslept. And the washing machine broke, or you got a flat tire, and the enemy said, there you go. There you go. Because Brother Copeland didn't do that. He'll pray an hour. And if you would have prayed an hour, you wouldn't have got a flat tire. Come on. Have you guys had this?
Yeah.
Baby's got a snuffles and sniffles and all that kind of stuff. That's because you missed the reading the word. Have you ever had that? And so, okay, so what do? You double down. Any of you ever double down? Tomorrow. Devil, I'm going to show you, because Brother Hagin taught it. Keep messing with me, Mr. Devil, and I'll pray 2 hours in the spirit, right? And so you make the vow you're going to do that. You might make it Thursday doing 2 hours, but then Friday hits, and you miss again. Come on now. See, the reason you're not growing spiritually is because you made a vow and you're not doing it. Guys, I'm just telling you the honest truth. This is what we do. So we're going to make up for it. When is it ever enough? Because if you want to go to that level, then an hour is not enough. You need to be doing that plus this, plus this, plus that, plus this. And you're in the trap. It's never enough. Is it never enough? Has anybody been in that thing? Is anybody in that right now? Let me help you. Get out off the wheel. Get off the wheel. Off the wheel. And start saying what the word says about you. And when your mind tries to take you there, then begin to say what the word, it is written. Here's what, I don't know what it says. There's your problem. You need to get in there and find out what it says about you. And read that to yourself out loud. Doubt your doubts. Don't doubt the word. Make it a goal that you're going to do this every single day, right? Set your goal high and God will be proud of you. Because let me help you with something. He's already proud of you, honey. And he's proud of you because you're in Christ. Jesus didn't sin, he became it.
Hallelujah.
So how many of you think he's still sin now? He became it, but is he still sin?
No.
Because he defeated death, hell, and the grave. So if he defeated death, hell, and the grave, and you're in him, then you defeated death, hell, and the grave. It's accounted unto you that you did that with him.
Yes.
Because you were crucified. Oh, my God, I'm about to get the shout. Paul says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He's not here living, but I'm living because he lives through me. Isn't that right? And the life that I now live, where? In the flesh. You got to realize that he's in here living in this.
Yes.
And so what my goal is to let this in here affect this and come out.
Yes.
And when I do that, then all kinds of things change at Walmart, at the train stop, at all kinds of places. The pet store. Come on now. If you fail to hit your goal, what do? Repent, get back up, and keep going. Every hero of faith failed. No, let me help you with that. I don't think you caught that. Every single hero of faith, except one, Jesus, failed.
Yes.
But what did they do? They got back up. They kept moving. Practice helps you quit falling. You got to become, you know what you need to become? You remember these when I was a kid? Remember Weebles? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to get me a Weeble set. I'm going to go look for a Weeble set. Weeble. Come on, I'm telling you, I've been hit with stuff this week. I'm preaching to me. And I got to get to a place where I'm a Weeble. Oh, I didn't see that one. But look at that. 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 I didn't fall down.
Yes, it's right.
Anybody got hit this week? Yeah. Who's gotten hit this week?
Yes.
You ready? Do it with me. Hoop! But I didn't fall down. John, I got a new thing we're going to do. Hey, around the office. Come out of pastor's meeting, we'll all be going. But we didn't fall down. Oh, you're going to see that. You and I will know. We'll know, right? Quest, we'll know. We'll just be sitting there and go. Oh, Jesus. Now, Brenda, you'll do it better than the rest of us. See, I'm a little clunky with my Weeble thing. You probably have more grace. John, you'll have some kind of groove thing with it. But you wobble in rhythm. It is written. See, he didn't even realize it. He took me back to a place when I was an athlete and we were in college. My first roommate was, he was 6'10", 6'11", from the Bronx. Baseball player with a basketball player. And Ronnie, we went clubbing, just saying, you know. And I learned a new style of music I'd never heard before. And I don't want to even do a lyric of it because I can't remember the name of the group now, but it was the first, yeah, I'm not going there. I'd never heard rap before. I was a disco kid. Bee Gees. What? Why are you groaning? So we went out to this place, right? And I'm with the basketball team. I'm the littlest guy out there. And I started, you know, the... Ronnie, John, let me borrow you. John. No, seriously, come here, let me borrow you. No, come here. Ronnie comes up to me, goes, He goes, who taught you how to dance? I thought I could dance. He goes, you're the whitest white I've ever seen in my life. That's what he told me. Took my confidence for rhythm away from me. Totally. He said, you got to be smooth if you're going to hang with Ronnie. So all he would let me do, watch me in church sometime, all he'd let me do is step, snap, step, snap, step, snap. That's all I can do. And that's all I can do to this day. I've got to get past. It is written. But we don't fall down. Practice keeps you, listen to me, practice keeps you from falling. But not practicing legalism, practicing the word.
Yes.
Keeps me from falling. A child falls many times. We kind of expect them to, yes? But by getting back up, they fall less and less each day. Here's the deal, you may even fall as an adult. But it's so rare that you fall as an adult, it will take you by surprise.
Yes.
Right? Ooh, didn't expect that. Wouldn't it be nice If you failed, let me say this. Wouldn't it be nice if you sinned and you were surprised by it? That's the place you're going. I say it under the authority of the name of Jesus. That's the place we're going. That if you do miss it, because you will, you'll be surprised by it. Oh my, I didn't see that coming. Let me get rid of that and now be a weeble again. Right? When was the last time I sinned? Can't remember. Because I keep that thing going in me all the time. It's a great way to live, and it's possible to live that way in Christ Jesus. It is absolutely possible, and it's expected of us to live like that. That's what we're called to do. It's not hard. Religious people make it hard. Now I'm going to do what I saw myself do. I heard the Lord say today to cast the net. There's anyone in here, I was describing you. You really don't know. I gave you the verse a while ago, but you want somebody to pray with you and agree with you. That maybe you're not a believer. Maybe it's you watching out there. You're not a believer, but you want to be. You want this kind of lifestyle that I'm talking about. Listen, it's so simple. Is there anybody in this room, you're not a believer, you don't know if you're a believer? You want that kind of experience that you know that you know. Is there anybody in here? I'd be surprised. But if you are, don't leave this place without knowing. Because I'm telling you, he's here right now. And he's already forgiven you. You just need to receive what he's already done. He's already filled you with the Spirit. You just need to receive what he's already done. Is there anybody in here, you were filled the moment you were born again, but you've not experienced with the speaking in tongues. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Anybody in this room? You've not been filled and you want to be. You've struggled with this and you want this tonight. Tonight's your night. Is there anybody anywhere? No? Those of you watching by television, all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If all you've got is Jesus, forgive me, I believe that you are the Son of God. You died for my sins and I ask you to forgive me. I confess you right now with my mouth that you are my Lord. Guess what? Welcome to the family. If you did that, emic.org/pray. Let us know about it. emic.org/pray. Is this a hard out? Am I giving it back to you? Perfect. Okay. Did you get anything out of this?
Yes.
Do not watch me during praise and worship now.